My dear friends, today is the 24th Sunday after Pentecost. You can find the Mass for today under the 6th Sunday after the Epiphany in your missals. The epistle is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 1. Brethren, we give thanks to God for you all, making a remembrance of you in our prayers without ceasing, being mindful of the work of your faith and labor and charity, and of the enduring of the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ before God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved of God, your election, for our gospel hath not been unto you in word only, but in power also, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much faithfulness, as you know what manner of men we have been among you for your sakes. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, receiving the word in much tribulation with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were made a pattern to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you was spread abroad the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith, which is towards God, is gone forth. So then we need not speak anything, for they themselves relate of us what manner of entering we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised up from the dead, Jesus, who hath delivered us from the wrath to come. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 13. At that time Jesus spoke this parable to the multitudes: the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which is the least indeed of all the seeds, but when it is grown up, it is greater than all the herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and dwell in the branches thereof. Another parable he spoke to them: the kingdom of heaven is like to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, until the whole was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke in parables, and to the multitudes, and without parables he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things hidden from the foundations of the world. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. It is therefore a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from their sins. Words taken from the Old Testament book of Maccabees, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As we quickly approach Thanksgiving this Thursday, we begin again to anticipate another joyful Christmas season. It is good for us to stop and remember that we are still in the month of November. It is still a month that is devoted to the poor souls, and so we must not forget them through this month or at any other time. And so I'd like to speak to you today about devotion to the poor souls and tell you a story that came from England in the 1600s. There was a Jesuit priest at that time, Father James Mumford, who tirelessly worked to keep the Catholic faith alive in England for over 40 years. This was not easy during such a time of turmoil and revolution. So one of the ways that Father Mumford decided would be best to keep people devoted was by publishing a book towards devotion to the poor souls in purgatory. It happened in 1649 that Father Mumford received a consoling letter that encouraged him in this effort. The letter came from Germany, from a publisher named William Friesen. The publisher wrote that he had been commissioned to make many copies of Father Mumford's book, which was titled Mercy, Exercise Towards the Souls in Purgatory. And having had some spare time, the publisher began to read the book and was intrigued with its message. Soon after this, though, his 4-year-old son came down with a very serious and quickly spreading disease. The doctors gave up all hope for the little one, and so his father went to the church. There he besought God to have mercy on the family. The good publisher then promised to distribute 100 of Father Mumford's books out of his own money to priests and religious in the Cologne area. He did this in hopes that by spreading devotion to the poor souls, they would then in turn pray for the recovery of his little boy. full of hope and confidence in the mercy of God and the powerful intercession of the poor souls, he returned home from church that day. Imagine what was his joy and thanksgiving when he found the little one doing much better. In fact, in just a few days, the little boy was completely restored to health. Immediately, the publisher kept his word. He printed off 100 copies of Father Mumford's book, and he took them to a Jesuit seminary and had them passed out among the priests and religious. 3 weeks later, though, he was again faced with a great adversity. This time it was his beloved wife who was given little time to live. Every remedy was applied to the suffering woman, but with no effect. The good publisher knew exactly where to turn, though, when all earthly hope seems to be lost. He returned to the church. He begged God not to make him pay for the cure of his son by the loss of his wife. And far from being discouraged, he redoubled once again his faith in the intercession of the poor souls. This time he promised to distribute 200 books in their name. And after this promise, he returned home, and as we hear in the Gospels, he was met on his way by his servants. And just as in the Gospel, the servants came to tell their masters the good news of our Lord's cure, so the servants met the publisher on the way home to tell him that his wife had come out of her delirium, and she had even begun to be able to eat, and she was on a road to full recovery. Thus, this one man, by promoting devotion to the poor souls, was able to obtain an unhoped-for cure for both his son and his wife, thanks to that generous and firm devotion which was unshaken towards the poor souls. Now, sacred scripture tells us that it is a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from their sins. It is holy and wholesome to pray for the dead, first and foremost, because of the benefit that they receive, especially the benefit of being loosed from the punishment for their sins. To understand just how great this benefit is, we need to consider how much they suffer. For when we realize how much they suffer, it becomes obvious that they would greatly appreciate any lessening of pain. We know that they suffer intensely from being separated from God, but they also suffer a pain of sense far worse than anything we could imagine here. And what makes this pain so terrible is the fact that it is constant and it is so intense. Think about in our own lives, we of course suffer pain, or we may know those who are suffering some great pain, even very acute pain. But rarely in our lives today do such things go uninterrupted. For the poor souls in purgatory, though, for each and every one of them, they suffer continually. There is no rest or break. They suffer, as we would say, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And their only rest will come when they reach heaven, a goal which we can help them to attain thanks to the mercy of God and his grace. We can really and truly help them go from a state of suffering 24/7, the most intense agony you can imagine, to enjoying the beatific vision of God and being eternally and perfectly happy. You see, that is one of the beauties of the mystical body of Christ. We who are known as the Church Militant, that is the Catholics here on earth, we join together with the Church Triumphant in heaven, and we help our loved ones who are suffering in purgatory. The Church Triumphant, with our Lord and His Blessed Mother at their head, while they were here on earth, they gained a superabundance of graces. More graces, that is, than you could say that they would use in their own lives. So none of these graces, of course, went to waste, as it were. They were all put into the treasure chest of the Church. These treasures, over time, were added to by the lives of the saints, by their own virtuous acts and the graces that they received. Well, these treasures sitting in that chest are what we call indulgences or suffrages, and they can be used chiefly to help the poor souls in purgatory. It's really amazing, my dear friends, when we understand this doctrine, when we stop and realize that we can be a part of something so spectacular and so supernatural. To think of graces that were won by our very Lord Himself and His Blessed Mother. To think that the church suffering need these graces and can't do anything to get them for themselves. It is up to us then, it's our extreme privilege to access those graces placed there by God Himself. Take them, as it were, as we would take a treasure here on earth, and apply them to the debt of the poor souls in purgatory. And all three of us, all three groups, the church militant, the church suffering, and the church triumphant, we're all working together for the honor and glory of God and for the salvation of souls. Realizing this and just what an amazing work it is to pray for the poor souls in purgatory, we can begin to see why it would be written in sacred scripture that it is holy and wholesome to pray for the dead that they may be loosed from their sins. The Holy Curia of Ars very simply stated that we should take every opportunity we can to help them. We must pray much for them, he said, that they may pray much for us. In other words, the more that we do for them while they can't do anything for themselves, the more grace they will procure for us when they stand before the throne of God forever in heaven. We saw this in the story of that German printer. His son and his wife, they were both helplessly ill. Nearly every means at his disposal were proven ineffective. But happily for him, he called upon the faithful departed. He helped others be devoted to them, and no doubt after passing out 300 books to priests and religious, thanks to his efforts, many souls must have been freed from purgatory. And their aid was almost immediately felt in the preservation and the returning to health of his beloved son and his wife. The poor souls in purgatory, my dear friends, they know how perfectly well what it means to be helpless in a situation. And so when they see us helpless here on earth, but praying to try to get them to heaven, they have the greatest concern and the greatest compassion for us and our needs as soon as they get to the throne of God. The poor souls do all they can for us when we first get them to heaven. They can and they will help us to even carry our crosses and the burdens of our daily life. And praying to them can be consoling when we think of the return that they will make. It was the consoling nature of the thought of praying for the poor souls in purgatory that inspired the writer of the Book of the Maccabees to write those lines, "It is a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead." One of the reasons why that book was written was to exhort and to encourage the Jews who were living in Egypt to persevere in their faith. They had to persevere even though they were surrounded by paganism and immorality of the non-believing pagans around them. And so in order to give them the idea that they weren't alone, that they still had friends and companions on their side, so to speak, the Holy Ghost inspired the writer of that book to remind them that there is always the souls of the dead to pray for. And so we too, as we seem surrounded by pagan and immoral influences in the world today, we too have friends, as it were, ever by our side. That is the thought of the poor souls in purgatory who are waiting for us to pray for them. Let us pray then for them and offer up abundant sacrifices for the members of the church suffering, especially for our beloved family and friends who are among that number. Let us go about this work, though, with the greatest care, that we gain as many graces as we can for them. In addition to having masses offered for them, we can pray our rosary every day in their name and offer up our crosses and trials. We can provide for them by saying our prayers, by gaining indulgences, and by remembering to keep ourselves in the state of sanctifying grace so that we may gain those indulgences. For if we are not in the state of sanctifying grace, then we cannot gain the indulgences for the poor souls. We must also take care that as we try to gain as many graces for them as we can, we make sure that we pray and offer up all of our sacrifices with the proper attention, devotion. For instance, if we're praying the rosary for the poor souls, we will want to avoid all the distractions that we can so that our prayers will have more and more value and so that we can pull out more and more treasures from that treasure chest of graces. To make the most of our efforts then, of course, implore the Queen of Heaven, who is the mutual queen of both the church suffering and the church militant. Our Blessed Mother, after her Divine Son, has added the most meritorious acts to that treasure chest that we hope to go to for the poor souls. And there is no one else in creation who wholeheartedly wants to see all of the poor souls freed than their loving and blessed Mother. With her direction then, with her help and her concern guiding us, we can and we must strive to relieve the poor souls in purgatory. For it is very true to say that it is a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from their sins. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.